Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. My delegation appreciates this opportunity to exchange views on this important area of our work. Many delegations have been calling for having this very discussion, and we welcome the opportunity to engage on it. On Friday, Mr. Chairman, despite stating that my delegation did not agree with the text, we applauded your intent in trying to push our discussions forward. The sentiment remains, and we agree with the spirit of your approach. Mr. Chair, we also agree with you that this discussion connects to the core and the heart of our work, which is to give recommendations on the normative framework. It is therefore timely, essential, and foundational to our work ahead. As you have also pointed out, this is closely linked to the previous section on characterizations, and my delegation therefore also wishes to address them together because of the close linkages and dependence of Section 2 on the previous one. On characterizations first, we thank you for your effort and support the spirit again in which you presented us some characteristics and definitions. My delegation would also like to contribute to this important consideration, and we believe the following elements can help us come to a clear, realistic, and well-defined characterization of laws. As my delegation and others have highlighted previously as well, laws in themselves is not one weapon or two. Our discussions have also pointed out that laws are a weapon system with certain capabilities and functions. They are a capability category of weapons. This, in our view, is the first element of their characteristics. Secondly, by their very nature, and as is obvious in the terminology itself, these types of weapons rely on autonomy. Many, including my delegation, have highlighted that the concept of autonomy is indeed a spectrum, and this has implications for characterization. However, we go to that part later on. For the purpose of our work, the second characteristic to keep in mind, therefore, is the presence of autonomy. That is, the absence or lack of direct involvement, control, or supervision by a human in executing certain or all functions of the weapon system. Thirdly, and the key question in our view is as to what that autonomy entails in the capabilities of the said weapon system. Mr. Chair, this presence of autonomy, partially or fully, if it gives the weapon the capability of selecting, engaging, or attacking targets based on this capability of autonomy, would be the third characteristic in shaping what we consider as laws. The fourth element or characteristic is the capability of the weapon, again based on autonomy present in the weapon system, to choose or change their geographical, temporal, or operational scope. The idea, Mr. Chair, is to capture all systems that have the capability to act autonomously, regardless of whether the users have the intention to employ them in certain modes or not. Therefore, in our view, autonomous weapon systems with manual override or self-deactivate should not escape their characterization as laws. They remain laws with additional attributes. Regarding 1B and C, Mr. Chair, we agree with views expressed previously by delegations that it might be pragmatic to frame them according to the levels of autonomy and the capabilities that this autonomy entails for the system, partially or fully. This subcategorization of laws, if at all needed, should be based on the levels of autonomy present in such weapons, either giving them the full capability or partial capability to act autonomously in undertaking their critical functions, which I have just listed out, specifically selecting, engaging, attacking targets, choosing or changing geographical, temporal, or operational scope. In our view, therefore, it may be prudent to use the various characteristics as the basis to form the categories of laws. Importantly, Mr. Chair, the subcategories, if we are to have them, must be subcategories of what we characterize as laws. One or the other subcategory definitionally cannot appear to be a supraset or be outside the original characteristics or bounds we set in defining them. Regarding 1D, Mr. Chair, my delegation is of the view that we must go beyond selection and application of force based on what I have just highlighted. We realize that you've tried to capture some of these elements in the subsequent section. However, in our view, their consideration in this area also remains important and relevant. Regarding Section 2, Mr. Chair, again, we fully agree with many who have stated that the two are linked, and we agree with the UK inextricably so. Therefore, it remains important to get characterization right and clear. Assuming we do so, Mr. Chair, we would then agree with what you have for subparagraph A, with support to the suggestion to have the word possess. Paragraph 2B, in our view, could benefit from further elaboration from IHL perspective, including with reference to effects of such weapons. We remain open to the exact language in this regard. Regarding paragraph C, we had earlier also pointed out in our discussions that predictability and intent are problematic concepts with their own pitfalls, especially when employed as tools in drafting rules. This remains the case with the term sufficiently high as well. We have discussed predictability of the steps in the algorithm does not guarantee compliance with IHL, as it fails to account for the subjective and dynamic context of real-world operational scenarios. Similarly, Mr. Chair, intent is not an objective criteria, nor is it a constant. Intent and dynamic environment may or may not match. Intent of employing a system may change any time. Therefore, intent itself cannot be relied to build a concept of predictability either, in our view. Therefore, we may have to consider discussing and exploring alternate terminology, and my delegation would be willing to engage in this continued discussion. Regarding paragraph D, Mr. Chair, again, we agree with the suggestion to look at the term meaningful as more appropriate. Lastly, Mr. Chairman, we understand that there are diverging views in the room, and my delegation remains committed to continue our engagement on substance in these two sections to move us forward and towards consensus. This area remains a key part of our work and deserves all the attention we are able to devote to it. I thank you very much.